Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for the thorns. That's today's devotional. Thank you for being with us, and I hope you get a blessing from this reading. I'm not sure about this. I don't like thorns. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Genesis 3:18. Have you ever walked through the woods and tripped over a thorny vine, or tried to make your way through a tangle of thorn-covered blackberry brush? Have you ever attempted to pick a delicately beautiful flower only to be painfully pricked by thorns that were all over the stem? How many times have you bumped into a cactus plant and gone through the agony of pulling out the many spines? Then there are plants such as nettles that have thousands and thousands of needle-sharp hairs covering their leaves and stems, and even a poisonous substance so that if you merely brush against them, the pain can be intense. Thorns hurt, and we don't like them a bit. But Benjamin Franklin once said that the things which hurt instruct. What can we learn from these nuisances that torment us sometimes? Well, you may have noticed that blackberries seem to taste better when you go through the difficulties of picking them yourself. Roses seem even more desirable when seen in contrast to the thorns, and a cactus flower seems so much more delicate and lovely when perched atop its prickly standard. God knew that if man's life was too easy, he wouldn't sufficiently appreciate its joys. So he allowed problems such as thorns when he cursed the ground for man's sake. Another important fact about thorns and stickers is that plants that have them get left alone. In some cases, this is good for the plant. A desert plant, for example, might need all of its few leaves just to produce enough food to keep it growing. If deer could nibble as easily on it as they do on the grass that grows continuously, the plant would soon lose all its leaves and die. It is also true that when we act like a thorn, other people are more likely to leave us alone. This works in two ways, however. So when you find you don't like someone because he is prickly and thorny acting, remember that thorns often protect something beautiful if you are willing to look for it and brave the pain. Wow, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you this show and we hold up to you this day. We hold up to you those people in our lives that we consider rather prickly. We just ask that you give us wisdom in dealing with them that we may see their beauty. We hold up to you the trials, which are the thorns in our lives, that our faith may persevere and that through that experience we'll come to love and know you even more. We thank you for the opportunity to come over the airwaves and to talk about families and homeschooling, and just help us have the courage to continue on. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So I've looked for some ideas for thorn studies. You know, we do leaf studies, but we don't do very much with thorn studies. So I haven't found just the idea I'd like to put up in my Pinterest site. But I would like to take my students out to do a thorn study, to look through all of the foliage and leaves and shrubs to see what plants have thorns. And another thing that I do with thorns is I take to make the crown of thorns for our play, I take some ivy and I take all the leaves off and cut the little green things so they're kind of pointed, but they're still really soft, so it doesn't hurt our young man that does the part of Jesus. And then I spray paint it to look like brown crown of thorns. Thorn study, you know, because it played such a part in the crucifixion of Jesus, it seems like we should study thorns more than we do. Thorns are those things in our lives that build our faith, because the analogy is something that happens or some challenge that we need to do is equated with thorns. So I think it's good to talk about thorns, to study thorns, and then help your children come up with that analogy. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we're going through the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of getting ready to have a super great homeschool. And it's all right if you've already been homeschooling. You could probably add to this, and I am exploring ways that my listeners can help give feedback and can help contribute to this show, but I just don't have it together yet. But you can always email me or contact me. My email is mrgmediaministries@gmail.com, just all spelled out, mrgmediaministries. That's plural, ministries, I-E-S, @gmail.com. You can email me or you can Facebook me. Go to Rose Gamblin and friend me there. Or you can go to my Homeschool Companion page and talk to me there. Or you can call me at 301-824-3162. And then if you want to, if you're interested in being a satellite campus for Gettysburg Adventist Christian School, you can check us out at their website, which is www.mygacs.org, M-Y-G-A-C-S. That stands for Gettysburg Adventist Christian School.org. We want to help you. So we're talking about long-range plans, and we went through math. I tend to have my language arts have all these components, have reading and grammar and spelling and handwriting. And then encompassing in that, of course, would be things like book reports and creative writing. So if you just think of reading, writing, arithmetic, and just make your long-range plans for the three basic subjects, then you can break them down later if you want to. It's just a good idea to have these long-range plans. So I won't talk about it much more. I'm hoping that you are starting your long-range plans for next school year. Don't go into too much detail. Just it's the broad strokes of what you plan. And saying that, it really is good to have a summer break, a winter break, follow the kind of the outline of 180 days of schooling, because that way if you buy a commercial product, it's kind of set up for you, like I mentioned in the last show with math. It'll have long-range plans there for you, pacing and all of the rest. Okay, well, I think I have time for maybe one question, and we just really do appreciate your questions parents ask. You know, we're not given a book, a guidebook. Each child is uniquely special and has its own challenges with it, and we learn right along with them. This question's from Tiffany, and she says, I'm horrible at homeschooling. I mean, I'm 100 days behind. I have no structure. The kids don't do their chores. I'm at a loss as what to do. And it's true that if you are not good at managing your young people, they're not going to do anything you tell them to do. So there might need to be a whole lesson on how to manage your family, how to structure your family so that the kids do obey you. That being said, you're not a failure. It's much better to err on the side of leniency than on being over strict. So you can just pick a few things that you want them to do and follow through on that. Just start small. They're not used to having a homeschool mom that is super strict. So you don't want to be that. You just want to be consistent in a few things and start small. It's okay. You know, God knows exactly how you are, and it sounds like you'll have a wonderful success. Just keep on keeping on. It's a great question. Thank you for the question. So this is from Jessica. She's doing a parenting class, and her counselor says she needs to do more self-care. That could be a whole book in itself, is how does a homeschooling parent who you're essentially taking on the role of a teacher. I mean, I have studied for so many years to become a teacher, and we're asking these homeschool moms to know it all right at the beginning. You are taking on a humongous task, and you will succeed at it if you just realize that you're not superhuman. So self-care, you have to schedule that into your curriculum as well. Self-care, how do you manage that time alone with God? How do you manage, you know, taking care of your own appearance, and how do you nourish yourself? So we'll talk about that more next time. We're beginning to run out, get the cue for my producer here that I need to stop. We are talking today in the second half about a better way to get high. And this is a great interview for those young people who might be interested in becoming a pilot. Our guests are Thomas Young and Rick Swaningson, and they're going to talk about their experiences in learning to fly and how they have taken their talent and just given it to the Lord, and it's been a wild ride. So the title of the interview, Great, A Better Way to Get High, is so appropriate. So we will be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome. I'm here with Ray Young and Rick.
Three syllables.
Swaningson.
Perfect.
Swaningson. Yay. He's the president of Adventist World Aviation, and Ray is...
I'm the global operations manager, and I manage the Canadian side of Adventist World Aviation.
So I can see why they didn't put that all on your name tag, because that's a pretty big mouthful. Well,
when we hired Ray, we gave him an acronym. He's our global operations manager, which would make him here our GOM, or we refer to him as our GOM. And he said, I'm sure glad you didn't give me the title of global operations director, because that acronym wouldn't be so nice.
Too much pressure.
Yes. Very good. So let's talk about Adventist World Aviation, the history of it. Let's lay a little platform here.
Sure.
So you can begin, Ray.
So Adventist World Aviation was started back in 1993. We were formulated and officialized in, if officialized is a word, but we were formulated fully functional in 1995. The General Conference back in 93 was watching our aviation department dwindle. We were selling schools. We were losing mission projects one by one. Most of it was out of fear of loss. Aviation is a misunderstood industry. Even though it is one of the most safest forms of travel, the layman doesn't understand that. And loss prevention officers were concerned about losing assets. And so they were closing our schools one by one by one by one by one, and closing our mission sites for fear of loss. Elder Folkenberg made a decision to meet out at Andrews University. So he called his GC officers, and they came together, and they met out at Andrews University, had a meeting, and formulated Adventist World Aviation. Adventist World Aviation is to be a supporting ministry to the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and its entities, supporting all the work. But because it's a separate ministry outside of that envelope of the GC, that we could now operate on our own insurance, on our own hind legs, if you will, without fear of loss of the church. And the church was comfortable with that. And so we were established for the church by the church.
Wow. So as a, you know, it's interesting because even talking to like Maranatha, they started out as Maranatha Flight. And so there was a connection there.
That's right. Well, Don Noble is the president of Maranatha, and he was actually a fighter pilot.
Okay.
And he was my Bible teacher back when I was going to Minneapolis Junior Academy when I was just a kid. And so I was always fascinated by listening to his stories as a former fighter pilot.
Great connection. Yeah, and taking that talent and using it for God. So Canada, when did Canada come into the picture?
We started deploying about 10 years ago to Guyana. And then when he came home, he didn't know what to do. So AWA reached out to him and said, why don't you start running a program in Canada? And so he had been doing that for, what, 5-6 years now? And then he moved on to another areas of life, and Pastor Rick reached out to me and said, Ray, we got an opening. Are you willing to fill it? And I said, well, I'm running a pretty successful aviation aircraft maintenance business right now in Canada. But I just felt, we prayed about it and felt the calling from the Holy Spirit that this is what we're to do. So that very day, we just shut all of our business and made some customers real mad and moved into serving the Lord.
So what does Canada do as far as, how does it look, aviation and ministry? Is it in Canada or is just serving other countries from Canada?
I think I can answer that. To back up a little bit of what happened in Canada, why we have a separate office in Canada.
Yes.
We're AWA Global, so everything that goes on in the world that's Adventist World Aviation is Adventist World Aviation right out of the U.S. corporate headquarters. When 9/11 hit, the U.S. blamed Canada for training the terrorists that hit the tower. So that created a barrier between the U.S. and Canada. So there was a little bit of a struggle there. When we had missionaries that wanted to go from Canada into the field, we had to set up a separate institution up in Canada because no longer, it used to be there was reciprocity. If you donated money to a Canadian charity, you could take that off on your taxes. And if the Canadians in return, when they would donate money to a U.S. charity, they could take their tax advantage off of that. 9/11 changed everything. And now it's required that we have, there were some other mitigating factors, but 9/11 changed a lot of that. And as a result of that, now we have to have a totally separate office. So when our missionary did come home, we opened up an office in Canada. It was established by AWA Global. We set up a board up there. We set up an entire separate, what we would call in the U.S. a 501c3. It's called a charitable organization up in Canada. So we set that whole thing up there. As a result, Canada also, being part of the U.S. Global or Global Operations, they support every project that we have in the field. So every project that we have in the field, like in Guyana. So we operate in about 11 different sites in five continents. And so both U.S. and Canada raise funds for each one of those projects. But incidentally, we also have a specific missionary process up in Canada that serves the First Nations or First Nation people up in Canada, which is the equivalent to the American Indian here in the U.S.
Yeah. And another base that we have, the U.S. has blocked our ability to send money directly to that country, where Canada hasn't. So we're able to still deploy missionaries from Canada and pay them and get the money to them that they need to run the project through Canada, whereas if they were just strictly an American organization, we wouldn't be able to help them and we wouldn't be serving the people in that country right now.
So we work with the Ontario Conference up there to serve the First Nation people in Ontario. We also have a similar project up in Alaska. In Alaska and in northern Canada, conditions are very much the same. There's a 500 times more likely that you would be a victim of suicide. So people that live in the indigenous nations, you're 500 times more likely to kill yourself. And the straightforward answer, most people say, well, it's because of light deprivation, because, it's dark, and it's just
lack of vitamin D.
Vitamin D. And that does play a role, certainly, but that's not it. Most of it is when we went in, and I say we, North American, went in, not indigenous people, when we take a person's livelihood away and we say, you can't do that anymore, and now we will pay for everything that you do. We'll give you food stamps. We'll give you all your needs, entitlements. What ends up happening is, there's an old saying, if you go to marriage counseling, the old saying is a man is happiest when he's productive.
Yes.
And a woman is productive when she's happy. My wife tells me all the time, she says, honey, I'm not very productive today. That's a cue to me to say, what happens is when when you have your livelihood taken away from you, you revert to drinking. And that's what they do. That's their, what are they going to do? They don't do anything all day. They're not work. They don't have to work because they get all their needs, you know, and so they sit around and drink and drug. Well, the next thing you know, you get a Christian coming in, non-Adventist Christian comes in and says, hey, you know, when you die, you go right to heaven. It's a better place. And so, you know, well, I just kill myself. I'm depressed anyway. And all I'm doing is getting drugged out and drinking out. And so the suicide rate is just awful. So we go in there and we try to get them engaged in some livelihood. And so we have in Sioux Lookout, in Ontario, Canada, as well as in northern Alaska, all throughout Alaska, we are working with the Native people of America. So that's where Canada comes in.
Yeah, and the health message really plays into this, right? If you can get people thinking about healthier eating and healthier lifestyle and helping them with their diabetes, because obviously their diet is really leans towards sugars and things like that lead to diabetes. And we all know, a healthy body is a healthy mind. Now, once your mind starts working better, life doesn't look quite so bad.
That's
and then
true.
You start feeling productive. And so then if we can engage them in more productive activities and hopefully eventually get them into a bit of outreach in that themselves, because we all know from doing outreach that there's a huge reward mentally and physically in reaching out and helping somebody mm-hmm. else rather than thinking about boo-hoo,
yes.
poor me, right?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, prevention education is... We say young people have to serve in order to prevent them from going into aberrant and
Absolutely.
Drug abuse and things like that. And even now, the states make it a requirement that every student has so many hours of community service before they graduate, and it's their attempt and their realization that that is the best way to prevent drug abuse and aberrant behaviors and things like that. So... Going back to Canada, are you a bush pilot?
I am. Yep.
I never met a bush pilot before.
That's all I know. That's all there is. Sticks and trees and water.
Ray's a qualified commercial pilot, but yeah. he is right about that. He's a bush pilot.
That's... And he doesn't mind having that. I didn't know if that was the appropriate term.
Sure. Yeah. No, when I finished my commercial training and stuff like that, I went into flying floats for fishing lodges and
wow,
stuff like that.
So,
I've been up in
those airplanes that go land on the water.
Absolute northeast corner of Alberta in Canada was the lodge that I flew out of into a tiny little community, northern community up there. So, yeah, very, very rural and a lot of fun flying.
I know a school that is looking for an airplane because they have an aviation program and they're teaching their children, their students, to become mission-oriented. It's not for commercial, but to become mission-oriented.
We know that school. It's Oklahoma Academy. and Cliff Brooks is a good friend of ours. And we're actually participating in helping him try to find that plane. So
yes.
we can
embed a little plea here.
That's right.
He's been pleading with us already several times this week. And absolutely, that's part of our agenda, right, is to help promote and encourage and support any of these programs anywhere we can, right?
Right, because, you know, we're not getting any younger. The young people will probably carry the world to its conclusion as we know it, and they need to be trained. So praise the Lord. Thank you for being with us and our little interview here, A Better Way to Get High. I hope you come back tomorrow when we finish the interview. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.